Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study. We are so excited to have you here this evening. Remember that we're always here from every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight I'm just trying to do a roll call to see if we have Carmen Settles on the line. And if we don't, we will have Mark Bryant, who will give us a song in our devotion. And if we can get, we have now Eric, Greg Lisman. Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So can you say the prayer tonight? And Dr. Nick, could you please read the scripture? And the scripture for tonight will be 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. Mark, if you give us a song. Dr. Nooks, if you would read that scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. And Minister Lisman, if you would open us with prayer.
Give us this day our daily bread. You said you would supply our every need according to your riches. I have but to ask, and I shall receive. Lord, we need your peace. And Lord, we need your love. And Lord, please have your way with me. This day I pray, this day I pray, this day I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Our scripture is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. This is the New Living Translation. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord. And the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight asking, Lord, that you would enlighten us, open up the eyes of our understanding and our hearts. Let us tear down the curtain of petition of our heart, that we may speak from the soul and to grow in you according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Can I get someone to get, as we start, Psalms 37:4, and if you have the New Living Translation, who volunteers to do that?
This is Eric. I've got it.
Okay, hold that. And if I can get someone else to pull up my scripture is, we just read the 1 Corinthians 6:12-20. Okay, let's just start with that. Eric, would you go ahead and read that?
Psalms 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires.
Amen. So we want to look, as we're talking about relationships and building relationships with one another. And the first question I want us to talk about tonight is dating. And I don't know if we have them on the line, but I want to do a roll call before we get started. I'm trying to see if we have Carla Elam Floyd with us, if we might have Annette Wiley or Cheryl. Who we have?
Carla's here.
Carla? Okay.
Yes.
How about Annette Wiley? Do we have Cheryl Street? Brenda Sawyer? And do we have Tasha Adeji?
I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. Great. Again, Chuck Collins just came on the line. I'm going to ask again. We have Carla Elam Floyd. I'm trying to find Annette Wiley. Annette, are you there? Cheryl Street. Dr. Brenda Webster.
I'm here.
All right, and Tasha Adeji.
I'm here.
Awesome. So we have Tasha, Dr. Webster, and Carla Floyd. They're going to kind of lead us in some discussion tonight around dating, but the rest of us will join in and continue to be a part of the dialogue as we do so. We just had a caller join in. You're welcome to join us. We've been looking for our panelists, Carla Floyd, Annette Wiley, Cheryl Street, Dr. Webster, and Tasha Adeji. All right. So our first question this evening is centered around why do we date? And Brother Eric just read that scripture. You want to read it one more time since we have people just join us, Eric?
That says, as I find it again.
37:4.
Actually, I'm going to read 3-5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. But verse 4 specifically is take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires.
Amen. We want to ask our panelists to start us off here. Carla, I'm going to pick on you because you're my sister. When you hear that scripture, why do we date? You know, give me your perspective on why, as a woman, you date, and you know, what's your biblical premise as to your why you do that? What's your premise?
Well,
your foundation?
I do believe that we're that God created us for companionship.
And, you know, I think that, you know, when we date, we're looking for someone that we're compatible with, someone that we could spend time with. And, you know, I think it's really, it gets really difficult because there are so many expectations of the world about where that relationship goes. And dating doesn't mean dating anymore. It means sleeping with people. And so, you know, you have to go back and talk about in Romans 13, let us behave properly in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. And so it's really, we're again set apart from the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it more difficult for us to date just anyone.
Amen.
You want the companionship. Mm-hmm.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Dr. Webster, respond to that, Natasha?
Well, I do agree that we date because companionship, I think, you know, as has been said, we are social, beings. We want to be around other people. That's the way we have been created. But the dating scene, I thoroughly agree, has turned into, okay, how soon can I get you in the rack? And that is, you know, it's really, really, it's disheartening, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we as women have to probably be ready for that and really mm-hmm. be very careful because you can't go out with everybody. You can't date everybody. I mean, there ought to be some signs. And if you're really discerning, if you are if you're reading your Bible, if you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit gives you discernment as to is this person okay? What is it that makes me uncomfortable about this person? Even if we go on the first date. Because dating can get out of hand. I mean, women are pretty vulnerable. When you're with men, we're easily overpowered unless you know karate or something like that. You got a weapon or you know what I'm saying. but technically, I think companionship is good, and I think that you still have to be very careful, even as you seek male companionship if you're a woman.
Right, right. What do you think, Tasha?
Well, my dating experience, and I think the whole premise of dating is to have that companionship with someone. I think that we were created to actually have that in our lives, but I would totally agree with the ladies that spoke before me. It is very difficult. You know, a lot of men don't want to wait. They basically date with the intention of sleeping with you, and when that doesn't happen, then you know a certain time frame that they have in their own mind, it's a problem. And I have noticed that men don't even want to talk about the bigger issues when it comes to just having sex. I think that there should be open dialogue in regards to that as well, and they don't want to have the conversation. It almost like scares them away from you when you present that and you bring that to the table.
So this is Dr. Susie, and I'm sorry, I forgot to kind of give us a little etiquette here. Whenever you get ready to speak, if you could say who you are so that we'll, you know, be able to acknowledge everybody. But I'm sorry to cut you off, Tasha, but as all of us have been talking here tonight, and we've talked basically about our premises for dating. Do you think the Bible wants us just to date for companionship, or is it that companionship that we're looking for, something that leads to marriage? Or in reality, have we gotten to where we just want companionship? Are we designed by God to date for the purposes of marriage?
Dr. Street, this is Gregory Lissman. I want to comment on that. I noticed there's a lot of women speaking out there, and they are talking about weak men who are shallow and only want one thing. But the Bible says, when a man findeth a woman, he finds a thing. And so I'm speaking to dating when a man has found it up to cost.
He's able to take care of a family. He's able to take care of himself, take care of a family. Then, in his mind, choose a mate, choose somebody who is compatible to him. Most women.
I'm sorry, Greg. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I can't hardly hear you. I don't know whether it's the background noise. We can hardly hear you, so you have to repeat what you said and to.
Yeah, I hear the background noise too, but it's not me, it's somebody else. He doesn't
I hear you better now. I can hear you now.
Phone on too. Okay, what I'm
saying, if you're not talking, if you could put your phone on mute and not have speakerphone on, because that interrupts the sound in the studio. But go ahead, Greg.
Okay, what I'm saying is that I've been listening to the woman speak, and it sounds like their take on men is very shallow. Of what the Bible says is not when a woman finds a man, it's when a man finds a woman, he's found a good thing, when he's found a good wife, he's finding, he's seeking out a woman, and basically a man, when he is ready to seek out a wife or a companion, he has to look within himself and say, hey, can I take care of myself? Can I take care of a family? And so at that, but mostly, most of the times, when it's been my experience that when I date women, they're after knowing how much money I have, and if I'm nice to them and spend money on them, they want more money. You know,
okay,
like,
thank you.
Cut me off.
Okay, is anybody else?
Thank you, Greg. That's a
yes,
In all fairness, I like to hear, so far I've heard the women's perspective from the Christian standpoint. But before you found Christ, as we said last week, BC or BG, before God, what was your outlook as far as love and dating went? And then we understand now that because you are a Christian, yes.
But let's deal with the question that we have on the table first. And then, but the issue that you need to look at is everybody may not have had a BC. Some of us were, you know, in Christ the whole time. We may not have been as strong and mature, but it's not always a BC.
Right.
Or you hear what I'm saying? So is there other people on the line who want to deal with the issue that we have on the table about dating? And then we're going to go to Brett's question. Brother Eric. Did you have any response to that?
You know, dating can be any number of things that you want. I mean, if we look biblically, most of those marriages were arranged. They didn't even date. They didn't even court.
Right.
It was like, this is who you're going to marry.
We want,
in our mindset, a piece of liberty to determine if that mate is going to be good for us. But what I found in my lifetime, and I've not dated for almost 30 years now, we didn't take the time to ask God's guidance on that. We just kind of went out there and found somebody depending on how they looked or what they said, and if we, you know, fell into lust, not love, but lust. And that seemed to work all right. We thought that was the best thing since sliced bread, only to determine that it was the worst thing that we could have ever done, because I have come to realize that sex before marriage is a hindrance to the relationship. And so our perspective of dating is that, one, let's spend the time to ask God's guidance and direction on where that is and who that is, and then to be as strong as you possibly can be, not to have sex beforehand. And it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody else want to respond to that? This is Dr. Susie. I want to just recap what I heard everybody saying. Basically, we're saying that when we look at dating, there are, you know, we really desire, with the desires of our hearts, we want God to lead, guide, and direct us in the process of who it is that we should be dating. However, oftentimes people are just looking for companionship. And today's dating, as Eric said, is different because we don't have arranged marriages. We don't have some. We don't even have parents today that teach us how to date, how to behave, what we need to do or not do. There's just the physical attraction that we see people have in school, and then you meet somebody, you smile at them, and you move in that direction on your own. We don't always have a parent. And Dr. Webster, you know, you with kids a lot. Do you find that you see that this teaching process takes place so that our children really understand biblically what that should look like?
That's hard. Because most of the time I deal with young children, you know, elementary age. Now, tomorrow, as I was telling Dr. Susie, I'll be teaching part-time at a small private school, middle schoolers and high schoolers. And I've worked with young adults quite a bit when I was living in Ohio. And you know, I know that many kids are in school and they go to church. They many times know, especially young adults or teenagers that I've worked with when I was in Ohio, they know that it is not appropriate to have sex before marriage. I don't know that it makes that much difference to them. I'll just be honest with you. I believe that many times in terms, and I hope that I'm getting around to what you were asking, Dr. Susan. Let me know if I get too far off base. But consequently, I just believe that, you know, they're good kids, they're wonderful kids, but they have boyfriends and girlfriends, and that's just expected. If one doesn't do it, another will do it. And so there's a sort of compelling, they feel like they have to do that. And I'm not so sure that's not true of a lot of teenagers or a lot of kids, because it's not just young adults and teenagers having sex. It goes all the way down. I mean, there are a lot of young kids. I don't know a lot about what the elementary kids are doing because I haven't seen that, but I've certainly heard it and I've read it. I think there's such a conflict when these kids really want to be genuinely in love, so to speak, with Jesus. They serve even at camp up in Ohio. They serve here where I'm living now. They're doing great things. But when it comes to sexual intimacy, they don't deny themselves. And how do we stop them from doing that? How do we? What do we say? I mean, do we even do that?
And that's the question I wanted to know. If we come to the table to date, if we're biblical, where's Lester? If we're biblical, is it not true that God created us to be fruitful and multiply, to be in this relationship with another person? Mm-hmm. Are we not supposed to have the long-range plan being married? So when you get in a relationship, if in fact you call yourself Christian, should not that relationship be to see, is this the kind of person that God wants me to be with long-term? Or is it just for fun?
This is Eric. And yeah, we should, but most times we don't. I mean, it is, you know, if this makes me feel good, then I think I can deal with that. Because we don't go into the other stuff about, you know, are you compatible or can you look at and deal with some of those situations. I had an old deacon in Jacksonville, Florida, used to tell me, before you get married, you better go in with both eyes open. After you get married, you better close one because you're going to see some stuff you don't like. and that is a true statement. And so we end up dating and you know, superficially and looking at, you know, oh, this person might do this, this person may make this funny thing, you know, this, that, and the other. And when you really get down to it, you have nothing in common. And if you got nothing in common, you're not looking for a long-term relationship unless you got Jesus dead in the middle of it.
Okay, but that's what we're talking about. How do we get to the... Go ahead, who's there?
This is Greg.
Who's
going
to talk? Okay.
I want to respond first to the lady who was speaking about the young children. What we do is it's a double standard. We pass out condoms in the school. We pass out condoms and we say safe sex, and that's the motto of today to protect you from sexually transmitted diseases, and that's the thing of the day, to pass out condoms. And so we assume that nobody's going to be able to stop you or persuade you not to, to keep yourself chaste until you get married. So right now, in this day and age, I'm going to say that that is something that even those in church, you know, even though the preacher says, preaches against fornication and adultery, it's still going on, even in the church.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so we, this is Dr. Susie. Go ahead, who's talking? Dr. Webster, is that you?
I was just listening to, that was Eric, was that Eric? Speaking.
Just say your name. Who's talking first? Is it Dr. Webster?
Yeah, this is Dr. Webster. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I was just responding to, and I think that was Eric speaking. Am I right about that?
I think that was Minister Lisman.
Okay.
I was just speaking last. This is Greg Lisman. I was just speaking
Greg,
last.
You were the, okay, great, Greg. Yes, I think that, you know, now I don't know where they pass out condoms in high school. Is that what where you were talking about? I know they do preach abstinence, and there are certain programs, sex education programs that will deal with abstinence and, you know, the consequences when you don't abstain. Now, there are definitely programs for that. I do see a double standard. I see a double standard even with regard to some ministers who are pastors, and how do you do that? But it's a bit of a double standard, and I think I don't know what to say about that. I don't know. I think if a pastor has a reputation, somebody would need to call that out. But one second point I'd like to make is that I believe in many adult relationships, there's a commitment problem. Many times, especially as we get older, I just wonder if commitment is a problem. Many times, as far as being a lady is concerned, I just wonder if men would like to commit. Is it scary to commit, or have prior relationships and prior problems, you know, gotten the best or really dug so deep that people have a really bad taste in their mouth about making a commitment to another marriage?
That's a good question Dr. Webb just put on the table. Tasha, you want to respond to that?
Yes. My own personal experience with my dating, I have seen a lot of that. I have seen where a man would date you, but when you would have the conversation of commitment, it scares them to death. And that comes from having bad relationships or coming out of a divorce, and it's, they don't want to discuss it. It's actually, if you bring it up, they shut down. Like, that is just something that they really stray from. So yes, I know personally for me, I want that. I want that commitment with someone to know that, hey, we're in this. This is one-on-one. I don't want, and I always tell the men that I date that, you know, I don't want to be part of a team. I don't want to be one of many other women, and you, I'm the Monday woman, or I'm the Friday woman. No, I don't want to be a part of that. So, yes, I do see that from my own personal experience with commitment is presented that the men usually don't want to hear that. They don't want to commit to that.
This is Eric, and I hear that, and that may be true of a lot of men. When you've been in something bad that's caused you some hurt and pain, and ladies, you will do it too.
Right?
You don't want to go down that road. You don't want to have that commitment because it's painful and reminds you of something that may hurt you again. But I would add this one thing. The young lady says she don't want to be a part of a team, and you're right. You don't want to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but you want to be the team, that I am all that you need and you are all that I need. And between the two of us, with this commitment, with God being the center of it, we can make it do what it do. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have some disagreements. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have some problems. And sometimes you're going to be saying sorry for stuff that wasn't your fault.
And this is Dr. Susie. I want to recap so we're staying focused on what we're trying to talk about. We're talking about dating tonight. We're talking about how God will give us the desires of our hearts. We're talking about in the process of dating, our reasons for dating, our companionship that lead to a commitment in marriage. But yet we're saying that there's times that we have challenges with the issues of commitment, even in Christian relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think the challenges are coming from the stems from previous relationships, baggage that we brought from other relationships, negative energy or things that we've encountered. And sometimes I think people are scared, as one of the ladies mentioned earlier, and just want to make sure that that person is who they say they are. So let's move from that discussion to talking about what does love mean to you. If we read, I'm going to read for you the New Living Translation. I think it's Romans 9 through 10. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Take what is wrong, hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now, what is it with the word love? And, Carla, can you start to kind of tell me what's your definition of love as a Christian? Even though we know, let me give the Greek definition. There's two types of love. There's actually four, but storge is family. We have eros, that's the love, the romantic love. We have agape, which is the highest form of love. And we have phileo, that's the brotherly love. But I'm referring to the eros type of love and agape. So if you would give me your understanding of love and how it operates in your relationships, can you use that word? Do you use that word? What's the problems with it? You just dialogue from there.
That's a really hard one. There's someone right now who wants to date me who called and said, I love you. And it just froze me. I'm like, you don't know me. Why are you saying you love me? And you know, it took me back. When someone says that, sometimes it feels like they're holding me hostage to say, I love you too. But, you know, when we were talking about eros, that type of love, it doesn't have a place in casual dating and casual friendship. Agape does. You know, that type of love applies always. But, you know, my best way of looking at love that I really like to look at it is defined in that book, The Five Love Languages, because it requires me to get to know the person. If I'm really interested in that person and I really like that person first, then I'll pursue loving that person, understanding what he wants, you know, what pleases him, what looks like love to him, and trying to show him what looks like love to me. You know, if to me that's the beginning of perhaps a relationship that doesn't involve eros at all. It involves more of knowing who I am and knowing who he is.
Amen. Does commitment come with that? Does commitment come with that?
Dr. Street, this is Gregory Listman. And
hold on a second. Hold on a second, Greg. I was asking her a question. Does commitment come with that?
It does come with that because there's a commitment to really honor that person. And you have to be committed to that. It can't be by the by. You kind of have to be committed to knowing that person and really honoring who they are.
So I just want to ask the group, can we really be committed? Can we really be in love without commitment? Or because how can you develop that? But go ahead, Greg. You had the question.
Okay. I think that there are different levels of commitment. A person may be committed to date you. They may be committed to be your friend. But there are different, you know, you just don't go out on a couple of dates and then expect somebody to make a commitment to you and you be the only, you not be the Tuesday woman, you know, mm-hmm. or the Wednesday woman. Because, first of all, they don't know anything about you and who you are dating. And so and right now, with the statistics, there are more women that are available than men. And especially when you look at the men that are out here, just like the women, I don't know if you're talking about quality or quantity. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people out here, but not everyone is mature enough to be able to be accountable in a relationship. Now, what do you need to be married? You need to be accountable and not necessarily be in love. On that.
But Brother Lissman, but that comes back to why we started off with the question of dating. What is the premise and why do we date? If we date biblically, then we're dating with the intention of moving towards marriage. We're not just dating casually. We're not just, you know, we're looking for, date to build a relationship. There you go, date to relate relationship. And from that relationship, we get to know an individual in a way that moves us to love, which moves us further to that commitment.
Can I say something?
Sure. Just go ahead, Carla.
I find at different stages of my life, I have different goals. I would have different goals for dating. And my goal for dating right now is not for marriage. It really is more for companionship and friendship. For instance, I would love to meet someone who likes to dance because that's what I do now. I dance. And I would love to have someone to take me dancing or to go out when I go to my dance classes to meet me there and dance with me. And I'm not looking for someone to sleep with. I'm not looking for someone to marry or to take care of me. At this stage of my life, I don't need that. And that leads me back to God because if I need, that's giving me time and space. Since I don't have a man in my life right now on a continual basis, it gives me time to focus on my relationship with God.
Okay, let me ask this question then. Ms. Carla, based on what you just said, what happens to your physical urges? Because that's, I think, one of the reasons why the intention is to move us towards the commitment area is because we are human, and the physical urge that God created and gave us, realistically, is so that we could be fruitful, so we could engage in sexual intimacy at some point in time in marriage.
And having been married before, you know, you know the pleasure. You know the pleasure of sex. And I think it's something that, you know, you say, what do you do with it? Everybody's different. I don't find a problem not having sex. I don't have a problem with that. If I find myself in a situation where I'm attracted to someone in that way, then it might be more difficult, especially if he's pursuing me. But I don't know, maybe there's something wrong with me. At this point now, I just haven't run into anybody like that.
If I can chime in, this is Brenda Webster. If I can chime in on that, I'm completely in agreement might not be the right word to say, but I mean, who was that who just spoke? I agree with you. Companionship is something that I value, but I'm not necessarily want to be married to anybody right now because I'm doing well by myself and have for a long time. And I will be quite frank with you that, you know, some men that you date are intimidated when either your educational level or your financial level that you probably don't share with anybody. I would never share my financial business with anybody. When there is that feeling that because of my education, status, or whatever, that I feel myself to be better than some guy. And I think that could be intimidating for some people. And I think, like was just said, companionship I'd be interested in, but I have another scenario I wanted to sort of introduce that I don't know if it crosses, if it really veers across different levels of love, but I have a friend who I've known for a couple of decades, actually. I've been married and divorced before, and so has he, but through all of this, we've always been friends. And he's the kind of friend that, who's also a minister, he's the kind of friend who I can call and say, let's go to a movie, let's go to, if he's not calling me, let's go to the fair, and he'll say, well, okay, when you want to go. So I can do that. And we never crossed the line. Now, we did used to date seriously a couple of decades ago before God called me. And so that definitely, that you know, just to put it like the kids put it, you know, we did the nasty back then. And so consequently, so now, you know, we haven't done the nasty, but consequently we can date. I can go to, now we have kids, but, you know, I've gone to his church. And whatever, we haven't crossed that line in a long, long time. But he is my friend, and I don't know what that makes us.
I think that's a blessing that you have a friend like that. I have a friend like that. He doesn't live here, but you know, we've never, you know, we've never been intimate with each other, and I don't want to be intimate with him because I like him as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ruin
him.
Okay.
Can I comment?
Other people.
Can I make a comment, please? This is Greg Glissman. First of all, when you are those who are not seeking to be married, when you meet somebody and you want to date them, do you tell them up front, hey, listen, I'm not looking to get married. I just want to have a good time. I want to go out. I'm not looking for sex. I'm not looking for this. So if you're interested in doing all of this, then maybe, you know, you ought not waste your time.
Well, you know, I can respond to that. And this is Gregory. I feel like, Gregory, you know, everything, can you hear? Everything changes. In my perspective now, at the place where I am, is I can take it or leave it. I mean, mostly leave it. But consequently, if I meet a gentleman and, you know, the Holy Spirit has me discerning that this man may make the proper mate for me, I would never turn that off. So I would not start out talking with someone because you don't know who God is sending your way. At this point in my life right now, I haven't seen it. And that's not saying it can't happen. So I say for myself, you know, marriage right now, hey, it doesn't fit into my agenda, but I don't know what God is sending my way. So that's the way I would answer that because I wouldn't shut the door, but right now marriage is not in my plans. But who knows what might happen?
This is Dr. Susie. If you're not talking, could you put your phones on mute because we can hear your movement in the background. Who's speaking next, please?
Susan.
Sorry.
This is Kim Graham from Phoenix.
Yes, Kim, go ahead.
Hi.
How you doing? We're in the process of talking about, you know, when you meet somebody, do you always want to move into a love relationship? Or sometimes the women have shared that for them, companionship is good, and they're not looking for anything other than that companionship. Some of us are looking for a mate because I've had a long time that I've been single, and I can speak for myself, that I'm looking to find the man that for God to send the man. For me, who God has for me, so I want to be in a relationship. However, let's get it clear that, you know, if God doesn't send that person, I'm going to be fine. Go ahead, Kim. Did you want to respond? Okay, who's next in the line?
Can I speak again as from a man's perspective?
Greg. Who's on the line? Are there any other men? Greg's having to speak up for you guys. Go ahead, Greg.
You know, I got to speak for myself. I'm not speaking for the other men. But I'm telling
yes,
you
sir.
This right now. I'm very articulate about what I want and what I like in a woman. And if I come up to you, I'm going to be cordial. I'm going to be respectful. And if I'm going to ask you out on a date, my intentions are all good, not to just I'm looking for a wife. I'm looking for somebody who is compatible, somebody who's going to be my friend, and somebody who I can trust and have integrity of to make a you. So if I see there are flaws in your character from the get, you know, how am I going to make a commitment to you and I can already see you are damaged good?
All right. Can I get someone, are there any other questions? Does someone else have scriptures that they would like to bring forward? If not, we can go back to the 1 Corinthians 6 passage if someone would read the message, or I can read it either way. Let me read it since I have it. Go ahead.
This is Mark Bryant. I was listening to us as men and you all as women. I really found it interesting that so many women, and I assume they were older women, have taken the attitude or approach that, you know, I really only need a man to, you know, spend some quality time with, to be there to take me to dinner, take me to movies, but not to truly form a relationship that lead into marriage. I felt that was quite interesting because typically it's totally the opposite. Usually, we as the men are the ones who, you know, say, "Hey, you know, I'm not trying to get married, but I want specific things from you." And I always say that, you know, we as men typically want food, sex, space, and security, while women typically want sex, security, communication, and that kind of bonding with a man. And so it's interesting to see this change with, especially with an older woman, and how they respond to if I really meet a man. And I guess my question comes to the point is society led you to think that you don't need a man, or you're in an economic status, you got your home, you got this, you got that, and you only want a man for certain things. Has society led you to believe that, or is it your experiences, good or bad? You know, what's led you to feel that way?
I can start off. This is Carla. And what's led me to feel that way, I think, is self-protection. It's a bit of self-protection because, you know, I live in Colorado, and there aren't and I prefer to date black men. I suppose I could open it up. You know, I just would prefer to date black men. And it's limited. The pool is very limited here. And so it's out of self-protection for me. Is that I'm not going to go out there desperately seeking somebody to connect with when the chances are fairly slim. I mean, I won't say it can't happen because it does happen. But from my point of view, it's not that society has led me to say I don't need a man, because I don't want to be alone. I want to be with someone. But out of self-protection, I'm not going to just open my heart like that and say, I really want somebody, I really need somebody, I got to have somebody. I would rather develop my life, my interests, and who I am. I'd rather focus on that and keep room in there for someone if God leads someone to me or me to someone.
I can agree with what you said. This is Brenda Webster. A large part of my attitude is reflected in what was just said. I want to protect my heart. And I just simply, you know, sometimes have been just really concerned, because on some occasions I feel like men are you're just searching for the next trophy or something. And when you're done with one, then you go to another, and it doesn't really matter. And so I guess maybe protecting my heart, and that's not all men, certainly not all men, but I think that I make myself content with my lifestyle, and I do pray, and I do, because I don't want to be by myself for the rest of my life either, but also don't want to be settled with someone who, you know, does not feel the same way that I feel, if I should let myself fall in love with somebody, and then it just turns out to be a bummer, and I guess that comes from having been married before. I just don't know if you know, maybe it's just self-protection. I just don't know if I'm willing to jump like that. I want to be able to just walk away and be okay because I've been able to do that. And I just don't want to keep doing that, you know. That's a part of me.
Let me ask a question. Go ahead, Lester. And after that, I have a statement. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is Lester Carver here. I was just going to say that, you know, in the context of Christian dating, if we say that what we're talking about are believers dating one another, one of the foundational ideas is that you know, you are moving. You don't date someone you couldn't see yourself potentially marrying, first of all. But then you're developing a relationship. From a Christian standpoint, it's going to be a platonic relationship. Sex isn't going to be a part of the equation. And as you are discovering one another, as you are sharing information, as you're developing a relationship, when you see that you're with someone that you can fast with, pray with, study with, fellowship with other like-minded believers with, and you see that this thing just works, it's just natural, perhaps that's the point at which you allow yourself to enter into a committed love relationship without crossing
Amen.
The line. And my
Amen.
Thing is, at this point in your life, you've done it correctly, right? Now, the other side of that is in 1 Corinthians 7:8, it says, I say, therefore, this is Paul, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I am, right? So let's say you never get married again, right? The word stands behind you on that. and what that means is you can focus on God. You can be happy. You can, you know, you can know that you're not alone because God is with you. At the same time, if God sends a man into your life and that man prays with you and fasts with you and studies with you and fellowships with like-minded believers with you, that might be a sign that perhaps you should, you know, open up the doors to your heart again and say, maybe this can happen.
All right.
Mm-hmm. This is Cheryl. I'm sorry. I believe that if your heart is in a position of not trusting, you should not date anyone. I can take myself to the movies. I can take myself out to dinner. But if I am not ready to open my heart and trust a new relationship, then I should not be dating that guy. Because what he's doing for me, I should be able to do for myself and not depend on a man who has to take me out. If I want to hang out with someone, hang out with a group, hang out with my girlfriend, but to actually have a guy take me out to dinner and take me to a movie, knowing my heart is closed and I have this wall up, to me that's using a man for self-gratification. And I don't think God wants us to do that. I think that if we're not ready to be in a relationship, we need to take out time, get to ourselves, and deal with what's going on within us. Let God work within us. Let Him prepare us to be in a relationship. Because if you're not ready, you're going to make that other person miserable. Because sooner or later, whether it's a man or a woman, they're going to be able to see that they're being used just for going out to dinner and going to a movie.
This is Dr. Susie. We have learned so much here today, but one of the things I want us to understand is because there's so many of us who have, maybe some of us are at the similar place, whereas, for example, I think Cheryl just spoke, if I have a friend that is not wanting to get married and I don't want to get married either, and we go out, we are grown and adult enough to make the decision to go out just to have a good time. So we know,
right?
You know, in that context, we're not using the other person. So I agree with you. If you're doing that knowing the other person's heart may be, you know, into you,
right,
then that is using that person. But it's not using that person if you both are in agreement. Hey, I think Minister Listman said up front, just lay out the rules. Lay
Amen.
Out the rules and say,
Amen.
This is what I want to do. I want to go out and date, and I'm not interested in dating. I'd like to have a companion, and that's it. But
right,
if you know that there are going to be desires, and when you notice that happening, then, you know, I'm listening to others who say, well, you know, I don't have that desire. Well, if, in fact, you do begin to have that desire, then I think you need to go back to the table and reestablish the rules, because
exactly,
it needs to be fair to everybody, you know.
Right.
So, but...
Right.
Anybody else want to have some last words?
Dr. I just say that by experience.
yeah,
this
who
is
speaking?
This
go
is
ahead,
correct.
Brett. You have to make it short, Brett. Go
yeah.
ahead.
Okay. I think one of the things that haven't been said that needs to be said, there's a difference between men and women. One of them is that on the man and woman side, there are both men and then there's boys. There's also women and girls. Girls haven't gotten to that place yet where they can accept the mistakes they've made in their lives. So therefore, they're going to keep closed off. Women know how to move past that and go on and have a meaningful relationship with a man. You can't take a woman and a boy and put them together and think it's going to work at this. And most
right,
men, within the first 15 minutes when they meet somebody for the first time, is going to know whether you're going to be just a friend or you're going to be something
exactly,
that goes a little bit further. That's all
exactly,
I have to say.
Exactly.
Okay, awesome. Anybody else want to have a closing comment? As we come together tonight, we would like to have a closing comment for those of you who are out there in Radio Land listening. We want you to fully understand that as we as Christians want to date, that God will give you the desires of your heart. And we do want to date with the understanding that love has to be God-based. Everything we do has to have Christ at the center of it. And God will help us, lead us, and guide us through this process as we grow more and more in the Lord. And, yes, we fall down
yes,
sometimes, but we get back up.
Yes.
And then God helps
yes,
us as we grow to mature where we need to be. But it's always trusting that God is in the midst of us. Dr. Nook,
right,
you close us with prayer.
Did you say me?
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Did
you
close
us
with
prayer? Okay, I didn't know who. I don't know who you said.
Go ahead, Dr. Webster.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Well, let us all bow. And now, God, we give you thanks and praise. God, we give you thanks and praise for each other, Lord God, and just for love itself, God. We thank you that you have created us to be social and social people and loving people. And we thank you, God, for this forum that we have been able to participate in, for we all have different ideas, but we do all truly love you. And that's what matters, God. We want to live according to your word. And we thank you, Lord God, for our moderator, Dr. Susie. And, Lord God, we thank you for her intelligence, for her innovation, and for this particular forum where we can come together and express ourselves and hear each other, Lord God, and do whatever it is you would have us to do, God. And we just ask that you continue to bless this forum, that you would bless each one on this call and those who are listening. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer,
love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Thanks, everybody.